Hello and welcome to the Haunted Housewives podcast with your hosts Carly and Tara. Join along as we dive deep into the world of all things paranormal, spooky and sometimes downright creepy. With that said, let's get straight into the show. Are you ready?
Hi, welcome back to Haunted Housewives podcast. You're getting a noise warning right off the bat this time because I have Gunner with me and also I'm very phlegmy. So there'll be lots of throat clearing.
My favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. And you sniffed. It's allergy season. Okay. I'm allergic to the entire fucking state of Florida. I'm still here. Still here. It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
All of this is fine.
You have the children and you have the dogs. That's all you need.
Listen.
Maybe just the dog.
Well, I do love my children.
I know.
I'll tell you what. Nobody is as happy to see me ever as Gunner is.
Dog.
Ever. Listen, I come inside the door and it is like Christmas morning every single fucking time for that dog. I leave the house. I went out last night. I'm shocked at myself. I almost canceled because I was having all of the anxiety and I was like, nope, not fucking doing it. I'm not doing it. It's going to be crowded. There's going to be people. There's going to be noise. I can't do it. And then I did it.
And you had fun.
What? Gross fun. Gross. I did have fun. I had a lot of fun. And then this morning I took the kids shopping for fall clothing. Not that we need much fall clothing here in Florida. But so either way, I was gone a lot yesterday and I was gone for most of the day today. And I walked in the door and this dog was like jumping. He's a very large dog. He's, if you're new here, Gunner is a Great Pyrenees. He's around 100 pounds, maybe a little bit more. He's like jumping and he does this like talking growl thing where he's like, oh, row, 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 row. His whole body is shaking. I'm like, this is the level of excitement I want when I walk in the room. Just across the board, shake your butt at me and growl. Yep. So last week we talked about the Pendle Witches and I spent all of this week thinking about the Pendle Witches. I had a lot of days with witch trials and witch hunts on the brain in the old noggin. And we decided that we weren't quite ready to move on from witches yet, but we didn't want to launch into another story of a witch hunt. So instead we decided that we wanted to follow up the Pendle Witch episode with an episode on witch wounds, which we briefly mentioned in the show in last week's episode. And then in the second half, when we're usually pulling cards, we are going to dig into each other's witch wounds and see if we can uncover the story behind them. Release them. Release
Don't
that.
Make me cry.
I might.
Listen, my,
I don't
we
know.
We had to redo this because I read a stupid poem and I like fucking lost it for a second. My body went into like shut down panic mode. The uncomfortable laughing happened and I was like, I don't know what to do right now.
Tara was crying and laughing and I was sitting here just laughing. It's just kind of my go-to emotion. I'm like, oh no, what do I do?
I
so just
know
so you know,
happened.
If you cry in front of me, there's like a 90% chance I will either awkwardly pat you or I will laugh. And it's not because I'm laughing at you. I just, that is my body's reaction to emotions.
It was completely embarrassing and totally out of place. And I was like, wow, that's going to stop right now. That is far too vulnerable for my liking. And we're going to shut that down.
No, not a fan.
Nope.
Not a fan.
There's water that happening.
Stuff? No.
Oh my gosh. It wasn't even like it was a sad poem. It was just the words. And I was like,
No, I thought about reading it for you all, but then I was like, are we going to make Tara cry again? If Tara, what if I cry? I have tear ducts of steel, except for lately. I'm crying a lot lately.
And you're dehydrated today.
I am dehydrated today because I drank a lot of fucking alcohol and I haven't had any water yet today. So shame on me.
My God.
Or shame. I know. And then I didn't eat until like 3:30. First, I wasn't hungry. And then I took my kids shopping. So we were, I was like, we're going to get food because I can't possibly shop and cook all in the same time. You know what I mean? It's asking way too much. Right? So two of them wanted Chick-fil-A and my son was like, can we get burritos? And I said, yep, sure as shit can. We went, but you can only order online. They were short staffed. And so their solution was to have everybody order online. It didn't even make any fucking sense because you pick the time that you want to pick up your burrito, picked 2:40, right? Which was not that long afterwards. And then I went in to get the burritos and everybody's just standing there. Some people had been waiting for like an hour for their fucking burritos. And I already paid for it because you had to order in advance. So I already paid for it. And I was like, are you kidding me? I haven't eaten yet. I just want to eat a burrito. Like, this is the gift this to me. Okay. Give this to me. Give me this fucking burrito. So I took the other two to Chick-fil-A and then circled back around for burrito and I got it. And there was a point in saying that, but now I don't remember what it is. And water. I didn't drink water. I did get a burrito.
It has nothing to do with witch wounds, just the fact that we are hungry, dehydrated humans.
And apparently we are doing our absolute best to avoid talking about this. This is, aside from Tara crying, again, seriously, we stopped and started this recording a couple different times. I was like, okay, I need to restart because I cannot stay focused today. We are just... Listen, I'm sorry. Okay. I can't even blame the alcohol. I'm no longer drunk. However, I am not focused today. And it's uncomfortable. I picked this. Why do I keep doing this to myself and to you? I'm like, hey,
making me cry.
Hey, this is going to be great. This is going to be a silent partner. Fun.
I'm like the aha man on the other end. I don't read things. Look what happens when I shame on you.
Shame.
Opening the wounds.
You're opening all of your wounds, and then I'm gonna pour salt in them. That's the only way.
Laugh at you while you're crying.
I also laugh when people fall. Thank you.
It's okay. Okay, for real. Today we're talking about witch wounds, which are a real thing.
They are a real thing. A witch wound is a sort of generational trauma that's been passed on either through the family line, or if you believe in past lives, it could be something that you experienced in a past life. And Tara told me that there's a word for this. Please regale us with this word.
Yes, this is actually called epigenetics. And epigenetics is a chemical coding within your DNA. So let's say, you had ancestors like 100 years ago that experienced some kind of trauma. They actually have imprinted that in their genetic code. It's there now. And so when they have children, they pass it on to their children and their children pass it on in their coding. And so 100 years later, you could have this irrational fear of, let's say, water. And you have no idea why. You've never had any experiences, you've never had anything, but when you trace your lineage or you do like a past life regression or something like that, you learned that either this happened to you in a past life or it happened to one of your ancestors and you have carried that wound with you. It's a thing. It's actual science. And they actually learned this through animal testing, unfortunately, that, Well, I'm going to keep talking about it so I can laugh at you crying. No, just kidding.
Do it.
No, but they actually did. They have to do genetic studies on something. And sometimes it's animals, unfortunately. And while I'm not a fan of that, I am interested in the science. So they did learn that animals who have been tested on actually do pass on that genetic. And they thought, that's interesting. I wonder if people do that too. And so they tested humans and sure enough, epigenetics.
Well, epigenetics. In a less extreme version of this, I notice my kids doing things that I do when I'm anxious. And it's things that, like, I try hard. I'm anxious like all the time. I'm anxiety Hulk over here, just always fucking anxious. Sometimes it's really bad, like yesterday, and other times it's just like, low level anxiety. But I've noticed my daughter, she has some different fears, but there are some things when I'm like, oh, fuck, she got that from me. And they're always things that I've tried really hard not to like obsess over or be like, yeah, this happened to me and now I'm afraid to do X, Y, Z or whatever. But today, I can't remember what he did, but my son did something today. And I was like, holy shit. I know I have never done anything like that in front of you, but it was like looking into a mirror of my own fucking crazy ass with all my anxiety triggers and shit. Yes. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is straight from my DNA. It's like, I wish I could.
So it's not an actual, like, it's really, it's how the gene is actually expressed. It's not an actual genetic coding, but an epigenetic. So it's within the genes and how it's actually expressing itself. So I had to just make sure that that was clarified. So, I mean, it's in there. We just don't know it's there until it's activated. Yeah. It's pretty interesting shit. I love it. Fucking science, man.
I love it too. Science. The shit out of this episode. Okay. All of the science. Bring it in here.
Science.
Yeah. So it's the witch wound is a memory of times when people, women especially, but men also, people who were healers, midwives. I'm sure there could have been a few actual witches. I just think that those were mostly few and far between. For the most part, it was mostly wise women and herbalists who were accused of witchcraft because, unfortunately, if you look at the course that history has taken, men did as much as they could to disempower women in every way that they could. And I know that there's going to be people out there listening who are like, meh. Listen. Women at one point were in charge of healing. They were midwives. And once men started to take over those roles, women were seen as a threat. So if there's an actual town doctor and people aren't fucking going to the town doctor because they're going to go to your old grandma who has her herbal remedies, there you go. Perfect recipe for a witch right there. Mm-hmm. Was she an actual witch? No. But did her herbs work? Yeah. Probably better than the bloodletting fucking leeches and whatever else that they were using to cure. There's some cures that I have read about because I'm a giant fucking nerd that involve like actual urine. They like pee in a cup. Yeah. Just like, listen, you should not put pee in an open wound. I don't know. You know, I don't know what led you to this, but grandma over there with her herbs could probably make that a whole lot better than letting someone pour pee all over you. So
counteracting the acids.
Counteracting the acids. Maybe.
That'd be my guess. Yeah. Women always, they were damned if, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. You were, you know, considered a witch if you were widowed and lived alone. You were a witch if you didn't have, you couldn't have children. You were barren, you know, you were cursed. If you had too many children, you were a witch. You stole somebody's power and they couldn't have children. Who fucking knows?
Children.
Everything.
You were a midwife and the baby got sick. You're a fucking witch. If you were,
too loud or you stood up for an injustice, you were a witch. Yeah. Everything women did back then. Yeah. And it just created fear and silencing of women. And it just was bad, 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 bad.
Bad. All around bad. I have way too much fear. I don't have time for that. I'm glad I
did. Right.
So the witch wound for a lot of us, or, I mean, I wouldn't say that all of these will apply to everyone. So just like, you know, if something in here resonates with you, go for it. This is not an exhaustive list. You know, I read a few things, I compiled some stuff, but this is not like, it's not like last week where I tried to get as many details as I could. I just was like, okay, well, here we go. So the witch wound can look like a fear of being persecuted for being different. And honestly, that's kind of a conditioning that we receive from society because it's safer to fit in, because if you fit in, then you have a group of people who can support you and help you. And if you don't fit in, that makes you feel like the odd man out. And then, oh no, who are you going to rely on? Are they going to come for me with pitchforks and torches?
Right.
There is a survival instinct built into a lot of us. Not everybody has this, and that's totally fine. But to make yourself small and to change the parts of you that stand out in order to blend in better. And maybe that looks like dressing, changing the way you dress when you hit a certain age. Or like for me within Mormonism, I tried not to be weird. I tried to be normal. And, you know, I did a lot of damage to myself in the process, I must say. But It can also just be just a massive amount of fear of being labeled different. And of course, that can come from, I mean, that can come from all sorts of things. You could have been bullied in middle school or whatever. You don't want to be different. But I think that with a witch wound, it's something more extreme. I was trying to think of a good example because I'm positive that I have one that I'm just like irrationally afraid of something ridiculous. But it's that level of fear. It's not just like, I wish I hadn't worn white today because everybody else is wearing purple. It's more like, oh my gosh, I am wearing white. They're going to notice that I'm wearing white. They're not going to accept me because I'm wearing white. They're all wearing purple. It's a deep rooted fear. It's different mm-hmm. than an average. I want to fit in. It's like,
you don't want to be, you're afraid to be seen.
Yes. You're afraid to be seen. That's the word. Jeez, I can't get with it today. And for some people, and I include myself in this, it can look like a fear of sharing your spiritual journey. And I know I have a public platform where I share my spiritual journey, both here and on my Instagram page. I share a lot of shit on there. Okay. But most people in my life do not know what I do. And I have a lot of different reasons for it. But one of them is the fear of being judged. I've taken a very sharp left turn. Here was me, good Mormon girl, left that, just fucking off course, driving in the dirt now, atheist. And now look at me, talking to dead people,
yep.
podcasting about ghosts.
Yeah.
And I think that even with that goes along with, like, I mentioned earlier that in our last episode, I said, I'm not even that witchy. But it's just it's these defense mechanisms that come up automatically where it's like, well, I am, but also I'm not. So I'm not that witchy. I am that mm-hmm. witchy. But yeah. You know,
you're catering to everybody else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Instead not of trying to stand out. Yeah. Making yourself small to make sure everybody else is comfortable.
You mm-hmm. want to make everybody feel comfortable. And along with that can come a major feeling of being disconnected with mm-hmm. from yourself, which I have also experienced quite a lot. And keeping quiet about your personal beliefs. I know that that kind of goes hand in hand with the spiritual journey, but also not really, because that could go, I mean, I'm not going to get into politics, but you could apply this fear of sharing your personal beliefs to several things. Just look at look at what's happening today. Politics, not fucking safe to talk about, even vaccines, COVID, all of these things where it's like, if I'm in the wrong group of people, I just know to keep my mouth shut. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that sucks. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just a general sense of being polite, because everybody knows usually better to avoid politics at dinner parties and things like that.
Right.
It's deeper than that. I'm going to be saying that a lot in this episode. It's feeling unsafe to share your emotions. So you shove them all down. Look at me and Tara. You definitely never do this.
Nope.
Never. It can also look like a deep fear of speaking up or speaking out in a way that brings attention to you. I shake like a chihuahua after I have to say hard things sometimes. It's a trauma response and it's really frustrating because I'll be like proud of myself for finally fucking speaking. And then I start shaking. The last time it happened, I got so cold. I had to take a bath to warm up. I was like, where is my sweater? I need someone to bundle me like a chihuahua burrito.
Poor thing.
I know. Look at me. Just a fucking mess over here. Had something else to say about that, but I can't remember. Oh no, I was gonna say, even when we started doing the podcast, and it'll happen every once in a while if I'm a guest on somebody else's podcast, or I've done some lives where afterwards I was like, whoop, I cannot listen to that back. I can't listen. It's just being vulnerable in different areas makes me like
same.
Yeah.
It's why you won't see my face on anything.
No.
Because I'm like, no.
Soon this will be video.
I'll just be the creator. And I've always been that behind the scenes person. I don't
anymore,
like
you're not
up front and see and up front and late. Center.
Too late. You're coming with me up front and fucking center. Okay. You're coming with me. We are doing this.
You know what though?
I will shake and then you will pop out and be like, no, you're not going to shake like a fucking chihuahua. Get up. get behind me.
That is a conditioning too. That was a conditioning of mine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't be boastful, Tara. Don't be excited.
Yeah.
Don't just be quiet. Be seen, not heard. Yeah. Not heard. I could never get excited about things ever. It'd be like, okay, that's enough. That's enough now. So I just keep my excitement to myself. Okay, down. I'll just be quiet. Yep. Just killed all the joy.
Buzzkill.
Totally. Buzzkill. So I'll just be a wall dweller now.
Nope. Time for that is done. It is done.
I don't like it.
It's so uncomfortable. If you are hearing sounds, that is my very large dog rolling around and playing with the pillows on the bed behind me. So he's like, I can see him in the camera just flipping pillows around. He's a mess. So another thing is a feeling of disconnection from your intuition or your spiritual gifts. We've talked about this on here before, and I think that we are just taught in general not to trust our intuition. You get to a certain age and then you are kind of get told, but is that logical? Is that logical?
Right. We're going by rational data processing.
Rational thought. I have a hard time with that because I like logic.
Yeah.
But it is, I know a lot of people, not in witchy circles, but I know a lot of people who are very intuitive and they'll have different words for it. Like, I can't think of one right now, but a friend of mine is a really, really, really intuitive, but she just uses different terminology. She's religious and I'm not, but I like the way that she talks about religion, so it's okay. But we are just taught not to trust ourselves. You know why it is? Because they want you to trust church leaders and not your voice. So it is that disconnected feeling from yourself, being afraid to trust what your gut tells you, what your intuition tells you. And another one here is you self-isolate from others and don't allow them to support you. It can be a deep sense of mistrust of strangers and people that you don't know. And the two of those kind of go hand in hand. I do self-isolate. And I'm like, if I have something going on, I'm like, no, I'm going to double down. I'm going to do this by myself. You can fuck right off. I got this. Trying not to do that right now, but I'm not very good at it.
Same. But you know what? That also leads into that sense. Here is the witch wound is also, you know, it shows up in forms of perfectionism.
Yep.
Type A personalities, you know, that kind of stuff, that need to be in control because there was so much control lost and taken that you're trying to find it wherever you can. So that's how it would probably manifest in that aspect too, I would think.
I would think so also. Mm-hmm. And I am slow to trust people. Like, even if I like you, I usually will only let people see just a sliver of my life. So if you get to know all of me, you're welcome.
Your self-disclosure is very minimal. That's okay.
It's true. You got to earn it. Some people might also experience a deep-seated fear of violence being used against you. This goes actually almost perfectly with what I just said, so I should have waited, but it can be a fear of letting people see all of you, like hiding parts of yourself away and only letting people see the acceptable parts of you, which I think is what I do more than anything. Cause I don't know. It's just easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's easier.
What's super cool about that is I was actually just reading about that. And there's actually two psychologists that came up with this theory and they broke it down into a box. Yes. It's actually called the Johari window. And the Johari window is a model that represents how self-disclosure operates within each individual. So it has four parts to the square, and one is open. So it's how you know you're known to yourself, how you're known to others, which is, you know, just giving as much information as you're comfortable with sharing. And then as your relationship progresses, then you kind of give a little more, right? Yep. And then the other one is blind. So it's things that we don't know about ourselves and are more known to others. Like the more you hang out with people, like they're just like, I noticed when you do this, this is what you do. And you're like, oh, really? I didn't know I did that.
I hate it when people do that to me. I hate it. I love knowing about myself. I fucking hate it. I was told not to apologize so much. Actually, I did appreciate it in that case because like we were joking and they were like, you know, you don't need to apologize after you joke. Like, that's what we're doing here. This is a joke. It's okay. And that actually did help me a lot because I was like, okay, I didn't realize that I apologized that much. So thank you for pointing that out. But in general, I do get a little bit pissy if someone's like, did you know you do this? I'm like, well, now I fucking do. Thanks.
I'm aware of it now. We're going to put that in the known category box now. And then there's the other part, which is hidden. So you know these things about yourself and you will not share them. Nobody knows about them. And so this is, you know, we're putting our witch wounds in these categories. It's all the things that we like, all the things that we like deep down inside, but we're afraid to share them because we don't want to be judged. We don't want to be seen. We don't want other people to think that we're weird, all of those things. And then the last box is the unknown. So nobody knows. It's not known to other people. It's not known to us. These are the things that we learn about ourselves through relationships and things like that. So I thought that was really interesting. I was like, huh.
Really interesting.
If you break it down.
It has an official name and I like the categories. I am a list person. This works for me.
I saw that and I was like, this, all of these things that are happening that I'm learning are just so applicable to how we work.
How would you have known this week while you were drowning in schoolwork that it would fit in perfectly with our episode?
Right. Know thyself, right?
Know thyself. I have always been fascinated by the history of witch hunts. Like even like as, I mean, probably, but did most kids learn about Salem?
I don't think I did.
Okay. Well, I did. I can't tell if that was something that just I liked and I read about it. Or if there was like, I feel like I had a lesson or something. Either way, I've always been into this sort of thing. I said in the Lizzie Borden episode too, that I learned about Lizzie Borden, like way young. It's why I am the way I am. There is, every time I read about it, I said this earlier, maybe this was in the other one, a part of me gets panicky just like reading through these. Like when I was reading about the witch's bridal that they had on Agnes, I can't remember her name, her last name, but she's the woman that King James watched be tortured before the Pendle Witch trial started. It's like, I read it and something in me like curls up and panics a little bit. And it's like, why? This is so weird. Why am I reacting like this? Because I do read a lot of horrible things. I read a lot of true crime. I read a lot of the darker aspects of history. And I don't react like that to most other things, except for witch hunts. Just across the board, if you're going to tell me an awful story about a witch hunt, I will be internally cringing the entire time. I'm going to love it. Please tell me. I want to know all the facts. Please tell me these stories. But I am also going to be slightly panicking, listening. And like, if that like uncomfortable, like,
I think it's probably because you're putting yourself in there, in that situation. You're finding similarities. Yeah.
I am not a healer though. So look at me go, but I would.
No, but I think like the things that you like, you know, you are witchy and it's like, oh, like everything that you do.
Everything that I do. Like every fucking thing that I do.
Nobody knows. And you're like, oh, yep. They're coming for me.
Yep.
It's that fear, that panic. Hi. I experienced that at the beginning of the year with my own father.
Yeah, you did. You should tell that story. Cause I was super proud of you. I did recently sort of let my family know what I'm doing. My siblings know about my tarot and everything. And I told my parents that I have an Instagram and that I have a podcast and we talk about haunted things, but I didn't go into full details with them. That was as much, it was a big step all on its own.
Yeah.
But you should tell them.
For sure. Oh no, it was just, you know, and we talk about it a lot on the show, but you know, I came from a religious background too. And even though we weren't like, super duper religious. It was a facet, you know, it was a foundation. Like that was our thing. We went to church every Sunday. We went to church every Wednesday. We did the things. We believed in God, all the things. But so being witchy and talking to dead people and tarot cards and all of those things, that was a no-no.
Just oh, yeah.
Straight up. That's of the devil. And we don't do that. Yep. And you're psychotic if you're hearing voices, right? Mm-hmm. Which I actually thought was legit because I do have schizophrenia on my dad's side of the family. So as a young person, knowing that mm-hmm. and then having these things kind of happen, I was like, oh no,
nope,
mm-mm. nope, we're not nope. doing that. Not and then it made to be, you know, like bad. So, yep. you know, it was just never talked about. And anytime I would have experiences, you know, at all, it would get shut down immediately. And I would get in trouble. And so again, just suppressed it down. And now it's hidden, these hidden parts of the person that I am. I could never tell anybody because I would get in trouble. And so, you know, I'm almost 40 and I'm still, every time I talk to my dad, I have like a physical response. When I see his phone number, I start shaking. My stomach yep. starts to hurt. I get a headache. I get like full blown anxiety and it's awful. And so he messaged me to wish me, cause I don't really talk to him, but he would kind of chime in every once and pop in every once in a while. And he messaged me to wish me a happy Easter. And I think I was just feeling kind of fiery that day.
And I'm like, I enjoyed this car. I'm not going to lie. I was like, whoa, you're such a badass.
It was in the morning too. And I was like, oh shit, here I go. I'm just going to ruin my day. Because I, you know, again, it's this little girl inside, you know, that never had this opportunity to stand up for herself. And so he messaged me on Easter and he was like, hey, happy Easter. You know, remember Jesus rose today. And I was like, you know what, Dad, we don't really celebrate Easter. And my dad was like, why don't you celebrate Easter? Yes, you do. And I'm like, no, we don't.
I raised you to celebrate Easter. What do you
fucking? He was like kind of upset. And so he's like, but you know, this was an important day. Like, you know, Dad, I said, you know, I've kind of taken on a less religious point of view. I'm more spiritual now. See, like even now I'm talking about it and I'm thinking about him and I'm like,
I'm uncomfortable. Like talking and I'm uncomfortable.
I'm like, my stomach's like fluttering. But he yeah. was just like very unaccepting of the fact that I have taken more of like, you know, the old way. You know, we worship the land, not worship the land, but we're more in communion with our earth and the things like that. So more pagan look outlook. And he was just like appalled at the fact that I dare challenge that.
Tara, how could the you Bible. First of all,
it was a lot. And so for hours,
it is a lot, but it was hours. So brave too. So brave. Tara was texting
I wish I had saved it, but I had to get it out of my phone because it was like hanging. But basically what it came down to was he was chastising me for who I was. I mean, like for legit, like everything I do, my business, my job, what I believe in, my moral character. He just tore me down. Just, I mean, that's my dad. That's my, you know, that's my family. And to have him do that to me, I was just seething. I was like, oh my God, not only was I hurt, you know, by that, but it had been this way for years, you know, yeah. all of this do as I say, not as I do, all the church stuff, all the religion, just suppression and patriarchy, like all of that. And then now, like, how dare he say that to me? Like, how could you say those things to your daughter, your child, you know? And I was just like, I was like, it was like, you know what? I never said I didn't believe in God, first of all.
First of all, fuck you, sir.
But it was like I was facing my accusers, finally. Uh-huh. It was like part of me just like broke open and I just like let him have it. And I don't know where all this information came from, but I'm glad that it did because it was just like, just like flew out of my mouth.
I was impressed. I was highly impressed with the amount of detail that you put in those text messages. Like, she was sending me screenshots. I was sending to read them and I was over here like,
oh, this is good. This is,
well, you reclaimed your power like in a major way. Did you have some emotional fallout afterwards? Yes, you had to work through all of that. But
yeah, it was a lot. And you know, I was like, I can't talk to you anymore. Don't call me. I want nothing to do with you. You cannot treat me that way. You can't do that to me. Oh, I love you for, you know, this and this reason. Oh. I'm like, no, that's not how it fucking works.
That's conditional love.
That's conditional love. And I don't operate from there. And I've worked really hard to get past those years of trauma because of that. And I'm not having that anymore. Hard pass. And I was like, nope. But it was just, there was so much behind those messages and so much hatred coming at me that I was just like, it gutted me. I was so hurt by that and just so angry at somebody who claimed to love me could possibly say those horrible things to me. And I was like, you know what? We're done with this. And then I had a meltdown because I'm like, maybe I overreacted. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Oh my God.
Did not overreact. It was a lot.
It was
those
a lot.
Are boundaries. Good one.
Yeah, that witch wound was wide open that day. I was like, oh my God.
Yep.
It was
sure,
too much.
It was. It sure was. So while I was doing some of this minimal research, I read a blog post about the witch wound on medium.com. And in this article, which I have linked, it's going to be linked in our show notes. She wrote up a scenario that was so perfect that I copied it. So I'm reading directly from the article right now. This is not my words. The article is linked at the bottom. I thought I wrote the title down, but I did not. So my bad. It says, "What is the witch wound? I want to paint a rather grotesque yet accurate picture for you so that you can truly understand the depths of this wound. I'm going to take you through an extremely condensed, paraphrased version of an activation I experienced relating to this wound. It's intense, so if you are not in the headspace to read this, I encourage you to skip below." I had to adjust that because I'm speaking and you're not actually reading it. Ready? First, I want you to imagine that you are going about your day, minding your own business, doing your own things. Maybe you've just finished your morning ritual. Maybe you've just finished a yoga session and you're reflecting. You hear a knock at your door. When you open the door, big, intimidating men are standing on your front porch with scowls. Behind them, you see a group of people has gathered, mostly men, but plenty of women are there too. The men grab you and drag you out of your home. They drag you to the center of a courtyard where more people have gathered. Maybe you're so confused you've gone into freeze mode. Maybe you're so pissed off you are kicking and screaming at them to let you go. Either way, you're ignored. They hoist you onto a platform where there's a large stake coming up from the ground. They line you up with the stake, tie your hands behind your back, and when you finally look up, you see the faces of your neighbors, your friends, people you know. One of the men begins to speak. "This is the persecution of," insert your name here, "a witch. We will not tolerate witchery, abominations, and trickery in this village." As you struggle on the stake, your wrists burn from the friction against the rope you've been tied up with. You can't believe this is happening. Who is going to stop this craziness? When you look out at the crowd, you see the faces of a few women who have been standoffish to you, who have avoided you because they thought you were different. They're smiling. They're enjoying seeing you like this. The men speak to the crowd more intensely now, but you aren't listening to the words. You're completely engulfed in the realization that you are being hunted, persecuted, that you're going to die. No matter how hard you struggle against the binds, you're stuck. There's no way out. It feels like hours, but instead it's minutes. And before you can think about any other way out of the situation, one of the men lights a gas-soaked rag and it erupts in a fiery blaze. He walks over to you, and even though you can feel the heat lick at your flesh, your thoughts turn towards the future. If no one stops this now, who will do so in the future? What will happen to my children? What about my friend, my sister, mother, aunt, who is also different? The man sets the flame to the bottom of the stake, and it only takes a few seconds for it to wind its way up to your feet. You smell burning flesh. You feel pain so intense, you believe dying is better than having to feel it. And the flame grows higher and hotter. It engulfs you until there is nothing left of you but your soul. That was the end, but I felt like that was a really good example of, like, I was a little bit scared just reading that, because that's what, it's the memory that we carry inside of us that doesn't happen to us now, but all of this fear that we feel around feeling safe enough to be ourselves comes from this place. And it's so interesting. It can come from other places too. I already said that. It bears repeating. So let's pause real quick, and then we will use our cards and dig into our own witch wounds.
Let's do it.
This is Wine, Dine, and Storytime. I'm Nydia.
I'm Dana.
I'm Cindy, and we're your hosts.
Have you ruined a family gathering by asking what wine pairs well with eating a husband?
Are you the CEO of TMI? Have you ever been kicked under the table because you brought up your favorite dinner topic, atrocities throughout history? Then this podcast is perfect for you.
Each week, Dana and I share stories based on topics that include true crime, historical shenanigans, unexplained mysteries, and all things fascinating, while our amateur chef, Cindy, prepares themed dinners and pairs wines based on those topics.
Find us, the Wine, Dine, and Storytime podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, and give us a follow.
Hi, welcome back. We're super uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
This was my idea. I did not anticipate all of the uncomfy feelings that would come with this. Clearly, I need to think things through just like
No. This is perfect. Because this lets us address this at the moment. And if we don't address it, then we can't heal it. So we have to feel it to heal it. And it's not the most comfortable sometimes. And, you know, stories like the one about my dad and the experiences, they elicit true like trauma responses from me. But also I think this does stem way back for me.
I'm thinking the same thing, all of my things about Mormonism, all of my fears of not fitting in, because I was aware of that from a very early age. Too early, I feel like, to be noticing like, oh, fuck, I'm different. I don't belong here. I don't belong here. And then doing everything that I could to make it so I did belong there.
You know what's another interesting type of witch wound is self-sabotage.
Ah, fuck. I do that nonstop. Nonstop.
Yeah.
So that's how it presents. A master's degree in self-sabotage. I talk myself out of things constantly.
Yeah. Constantly. So you'll see that a lot. Especially like, okay, for example, like us, like we're not dumb women. Okay.
We're pretty very smart.
Yeah. We're smart ladies. Right. And we're not tooting our own horns. We're kind of smart. Yeah. But
we're kind of nerds.
There it is right there, is that we can't be smart.
Yep.
We can't say we're smart, you know, because that's being, you know, cocky, or it's, you know, kind of frowned upon. And so we have to.
How dare you bear your intelligence at me, Tara. Put your intelligence away. I don't want to speak to you of intelligent things.
No.
I only want to talk to you about the Kardashians.
Please don't. But it's like, it's that kind of stuff. And then we're like, oh yeah. Why do I like that? Yeah. I shouldn't be talking about that kind of stuff. Or like I was talking about my career choices, you know, even as a young person, I think at 14, I wanted to be in forensics. I wanted to do forensic anthropology. And my dad was like, that's morbid. You don't want to do that. But I'm like, yeah, I do. He's like, no, you don't. You don't want to do that. Do something like communications, Tara. You're great with people. You like talking to people. I'm like, yeah, I should probably do something more like that. Because you know why? Because it fit his comfortability level. His idea of
who you should be.
Exactly. Yeah. And so anytime I ever wanted to do something, he'd be like, well, what are you going to do with that? Why would you want to do that? That's not you. Motherfucker, you don't even know who I am. I don't even know who I am, because
I like this. Let it out. I'm here.
So here's like, yeah. So it's like this constant self-sabotaging of everything we do, because we can't be too successful. We can't be too smart. We can't be too different. We can't be too this. And so we constantly find ways to tell ourselves that we can't do that. We're not worthy enough. And it just perpetuates the cycle of these, you know, these women that were back then and our ancestors. And it just keeps going until we're like, no, you know what? I am fucking weird. I am weird. That's cool. You don't have to like me.
I still don't let people see my weirdness. Now I'm doing it in a very public setting. And I understand that this is so contradictory. Like, you guys are listening to me be weird every fucking week. Like, this is me. Yeah.
This is, and I mean, and it's not. Yeah, and it's not just women. It's men too, you know, but
it is men too.
In terms of men back in that time period, it was not speaking out against your wife, your daughter, your mother, you know, and watching that horrible treatment be put on those that you love, or even turning against them and doing those things, you know. So, oh, look at, I got the anxiety card. Yes, having anxiety. But
all of the anxiety is happening right now.
Okay. But we have to, as uncomfortable as this topic may be for a lot of us, you know, who have had these issues, and we kind of see ourselves doing these things for whatever the reasons are, whether it's, you know, conditioning or just our own doing, there's a reason for it. And so the more that we can really kind of look at it and address it and begin to kind of unravel all that, the better off we're going to be.
It's true. And I have, like, it is a solid part of my practice. I've said this before. If you would like to listen to it more in depth, I just did a guest spot on the Priestess and Witch podcast. I had to think about
wonderful.
It. I haven't listened to it back yet. And I really want to, but it's one of those things where I was more open about my past and how some of those things really affected me than I normally am. And so I am internally cringing. Like, I loved that conversation that I had. It was so great. We had a great flow going on. I took her through a shadow work exercise where we pulled cards together. I helped her see her cards the way that I see them. Like, I'm good at doing this. I'm good at figuring out what makes people tick. I'm good at figuring out what makes me tick. And part of that is because I was so disconnected from myself for so many years that I legitimately had to start from the beginning and relearn everything about myself. So I am good at that. And I have yet to look into the witch wound. And maybe that's why I'm feeling so anxious right now. I have had a lot of anxiety recently anyways, but this is like a different, this is the kind of anxiety, this is hard to describe because they feel different to me sometimes, but this is like, you know, we talk about fight or flight responses. Mm-hmm. I am so uncomfortable in my own skin right now that I legitimately want to get up and walk away. Like, I want to be done with this. I would like to no longer be in this space. I feel like that's why I cried. Maybe that's why you cried.
I think I did. Cause it's just like,
cause it's like, oh, bitch, you're finally going to acknowledge the elephant in the room. Come on. Let's do it.
It's just been so many years for me personally of all of that.
Yes.
That just, you're not allowed to be who you are at all. Okay. You're going to be this person because it makes me comfortable, and nobody, I don't want the questions. I don't want the questions about you. I don't want to have to try to explain you. So I'm going to make you this thing, and that's who you're going to be. I don't care what you want. You're going to be this thing.
That is my life in a nutshell.
Yep. And that for me just does not work. And then once I started to kind of come into that and change and question things, then I became a problem. I was a problem. I had a problem with rules. I had a problem with authority. I was very argumentative, and I would make a good lawyer someday. That's what my dad used to say to me. And I was like,
I got told that a lot too.
Maybe I would. Why? Because you don't like pushback. It's do as I say, not as I do. So there's just so much of that in there. And I'm a pretty fiery person, but I do apologize a lot, like you. I'm sorry.
I'm an over-apologizer.
Holy shit.
Everything. I breathed in your presence. I'm sorry. I apologize for things that I do not need to apologize for. Just fucking constantly. So
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do that too. Oh my gosh. Someone walks in front of me. I apologize. They're like bump into me or whatever, and like, I'll turn around and I'm like, oh, sorry. No, that was definitely you bumping into me. Why am I apologizing?
Exactly.
So we
be uncomfortable. It's okay. It's okay.
Be uncomfortable.
I'm so uncomfortable together.
Okay. I can do it with you. I can do all the things with you. So we've decided that what we're going to do, we both have our decks. I have the art history tarot for past lives. And I also have the Uncover Your Past Lives Oracle. They're two of my favorite past life decks. And I feel like they just work really well with this type of reading. And Tara is using the Memento Mori.
Yes, I'm using the Memento Mori and the Oracle of Oddities deck. Okay. Because they're just full of a bunch of words and interesting pictures. And I think they'll be helpful. But also I'll see what I can pull through.
Yeah. So we decided that we're going to ask two things to start with, and we're going to take turns. We'll have to rock, paper, scissors to who goes first, because we're both highly uncomfortable at the moment. That's why we're talking instead of doing.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time not talking about it.
Hello.
And now we're just trying to go back
Listen
out.
To us ramble, trying to escape from a web of our own creation. We did this. We chose this. Oh,
it's a great topic. It's a great topic though. And, but it's one that is pretty, it's deep. It is deep. It's not,
I was not expecting it to feel so uncomfortable. I feel like I say this every so often on here. What I have written is much better than what actually came out of my mouth, because pretty much the second we hit record, I was like, oh no, there are feelings. I don't like them. So, we're going to take turns, and we're going to ask, what did I say we were going to ask? We're going to ask what our witch wound looks like. So that can give us an idea of how it shows up in our lives. And then we're going to ask where it originated from. And then depending on what we get, we can go deeper into that, or we could just keep it surface level. If either one of us starts crying, we're fucking done. Okay. Just kidding.
I've already done that. Listen, I'm not going to get over that. I was literally so mortified at the fact that there were tears from a stupid poem that I was like, I can't even handle myself right now.
Emotions. Ew. Okay.
Too much.
You want to rock paper scissors? You'll go first.
Well, I'll go first. Yeah.
All right.
What does Carly's witch wound look like?
I can already tell I'm not going to like this. Is it the Morbell? Oh,
no, it's the wreath. Well, but we're remembering. We're great. Grazing the surface. We're pulling great. Memories.
Great. I don't think cool. I want to remember.
Yes. Yes, you do.
I do. Tell me all of the things. I would like all of the details. I take it back. My curiosity has gotten the better of me.
You are also at a crossroads. Your favorite card.
Well, for fuck's sake, of all of the cards, okay, listen, world, everyone, my life is a fucking mess right now.
But in terms of this, okay. Look, you have to remember I said you have to feel it to heal it.
You know what? No, this is
feel it to heal it.
I don't want
to
feel these things.
Fucking bad. Too fucking bad. Because you have to choose who you're going to be, because this memory, this remembrance coming back for you. You also got the ladder. So this is part of your learning, your ascension process, your turning of the corner, babe. It's time. So let's see.
It's time. But you know what? Ooh, this is true.
Look. You got the card of knowledge. You are much further along than you were. You have all the tools you need. And also, you got the third eye.
Ooh.
Actually, that's not the third eye. That's the crown chakra. So all of this is coming in. So, you know, this is really the perfect time for you to start.
And actually, that lines up really well.
Friendship. Because it's great to have all these people who are supportive, and they also understand your journey because it's theirs too. So you're forming like all of this community. So even though the past was not, I just almost like went Midwestern there for a second. Although the past came through a little bit. Yeah. Don't you know it's going to be okay? Crying in the mud. So, you know, did you ever watch that show Bobby's World?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
You remember the mom?
Unlocked? Yeah. I forgot all about that. That was one of my favorite shows. Completely forgot about it. Okay, but these are lining up like 100% with messages that I've been getting recently. I am joking about what a shit show my life is. I'm not joking. It's true, but also, you know, might as well laugh about it if you can. But from what I understand, this is a very pivotal time. And this is the time when I get to decide who I'm going to be moving forward. And moving forward, I can no longer be the version of me who is afraid to be seen. I have to let myself be seen. And I am taking very hesitant, very small steps, but I am going forward. I am choosing the path that takes me to the truest version of me.
Yeah. And I like this because it has, this card is showing an arm.
Holding up the card of knowledge again.
Yeah, the card of knowledge.
The arm, it's just the muscles and bones.
It's super cool. But it's also holding the world like a globe. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, a lot of that is just connection to, I don't know, your lineage, where you've been, your past. Maybe not in this life, but also past lives too. So it's kind of connecting the dots and it's understanding where you came from, and how you can break those.
No, there's a phrase
like a generational curse kind of a thing.
Thank you. Oh man. But you know what? So I don't do a lot of ancestor work, and I can't remember if I've gotten into this on here, but I have for sure on my Instagram page that I generally avoid ancestor work because it's a big part of Mormonism. And so like family history, genealogy is just really, really, really important. And I know that I have generations of ancestors who were not Mormon, but it's so firmly connected to each other to me that it's painful for me to try and connect with that, because I have to get past all of the resentment that I feel and all of the, you know, just the ickies. But last year I did do a little bit of ancestor work. Actually, it was right around this time of year, and they have been popping up again this year. So I'm going to have to pay attention to them. But basically what they said is that I would be breaking those generational curses, and that I would be achieving what women in my family line have been unable to achieve, which sounds great, except I hate it. Every step of it. I hate it. Can somebody else be the one to do this, please? I am not a fan.
Yeah. Unfortunately, okay. No.
So all of this rings very true. That's the point of telling you all of that. Now let us ask where this has originated from. Now that I've scoffed and rolled my eyes so many times at the crossroads card, if it's the crossroads again, better not be.
It's perfume, memories,
fondness, attracting a mate.
A fond memory, sweetness, a comforting presence, attracting a mate, and demure. So yeah, I mean,
well,
that would make sense memories. Because that's your conditioning. Always have been about that. You were basically bred to find a mate, be a wife.
Yes, be a mom, I was.
Play this house.
The next card that she held up is the lock, and that card can mean different things. I like to generally look at it as feeling secure, but in this instance, it is probably referencing a trapped feeling instead of a chill the fuck out, you're good, I got you type stuff.
Right.
There it and is. I will say that I was raised with a certain amount of emphasis placed on my looks as well. I like feeling nice. I like looking nice, but I do that for me. However, it was something that I heard very often growing up, that your first impression is everything. Do you want somebody to meet you for the first time when you look like a slob and things like that? So I do have that voice in the back of my head. And within Mormonism, the women especially, the emphasis is put on being a wife and being a mother, and everything else comes second. Your career, your education, everything else. You are expected to be a self-sacrificing, I mean, I still kind of am, to be fair, but that is a lot of emphasis. And there are women within Mormonism who have fantastic careers and amazing educations. That was not my experience. And mine happened like, it's a whole thing. I kind of got into it on that episode. It's too much to go into now, but like, it was just a series of unfortunate events that led me to a place where I didn't know what to do. So I fell back on what I was raised in. I was dating my husband and I was like, well, I mean, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it does make sense. And actually it ties in very well.
Yep. Yep. So, but your cards were good. So that is where it started.
That is where it started.
It's been kind of since the beginning.
Since the beginning. And in my real life, this is how it got activated by, yeah. Actually, I think that I know the exact moment too, which
You're like, great.
Great. I knew that fucked me up, but now I know it extra. Extra fucked me up. So,
do you have any other questions?
I would be interested to know if this is something that I have played out in other past lives as well. Have I just been repeating this same cycle until this life when I'm like, you know what? I'm exhausted. I've had enough. I don't like any of this. I deserve a better life.
Okay. Let me ask. Well, you got the cat card. So I'd say, yeah. Considering lives. I think that's their funny way of showing it, but yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like this should be empowering, but I'm a little bit annoyed by it. Like, I'm tired of this.
Well, you get the air card. The air card comes out a lot when we talk.
Get the air card a lot.
I think it's just another indicator that, well, this card, when you look at it, it's got feathers, it's got butterflies on it. So I think, you know, they are representative of air, but they're also representative of transformation and seeing things from different perspectives, from higher perspectives. Air is also representative of intelligence and thought process and things like that. So I think when you're asking that question, you know, I think it is, yes, this is something that you've been doing, but each time you're learning something new and you're transforming the way that you handle them, because I feel like you're much better off now, even though it's burdensome for you, than you probably were then. So yes, there's opportunity.
No, I agree
there.
And I do like I like taking these things and examining it. I like thinking through all the angles. What is
You've
that?
Got the God card. So again, it's changing your perspective on religion and structure and
you know what? I don't like that. I don't like that. I'm not ready to do that yet.
No, and it's not
to an extent.
Yeah, but it's not asking you to believe in God. It's just saying that a lot of this change is religious in context, and it's changing your perspective on it all. And they're just reminding you that this is a new life, because you literally got the life card, and that you can merge a lot of those things that you liked, with things that you're willing to accept now, and see them again and from a different perspective and not have so much opposition against it.
Okay. I mean,
fair.
That's all pretty good. You know what? I had a very strong reaction to that God card. I'm not going to lie. I did not react well to that card. The faces that I was making over here, eye rolls galore, scowling at the camera, poor Tara.
I'm like, I know. Not like that. That's why I laughed, because I was like, oh, she's going to hate this. But they're like, just.
You will absolutely fucking hate this. I do hate it. I do. I have come along.
First time you've gotten that either.
No, I know. They're like, hey, listen, we've got to work on this. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to look at that. I've already looked at that enough. I'm done with it. That is no longer who I am. Fuck me. Okay, now let's do you. That'll be fun for me. That was uncomfortable. I'd like to move on from that. That God card. Ugh. Okay, so we're going to do The same thing. And I'm going to start out with the art history tarot for past lives. And I'm going to ask what Tara's witch wound looks like.
Oh, no, what?
What? You're going to say that you're going to hate this. You will absolutely hate these cards. I pulled 5 cards for you today, for right now. And your first card is the Knight of Wands. And in this deck, it is a Traveler card. The next card that came up, this is the one I was like, oh, the Middle East. And if you look at the picture, it is the Sphinx, the statue of the Sphinx. It's also the Judgment card in traditional tarot. Tara has a long history of past lives in and around Egypt. And she has a lot of connections with her super fucking dead husband, her spirit guide, Menes, also all tied into the same area. So she's told a story on the podcast before where she was on her treadmill and started crying, walking through
Petra.
That's right. Yeah, it started there.
Cool.
Cool. I know. I was like, she's gonna hate this. This is your equivalent of the God card. So your next card was the Ace of Pentacles. In this deck, it's also Spain, but I'm looking at the Ace of Pentacles meaning for this one because the Middle East is where you were at, I believe. And then the next card is the 8 of Wands. And the last card is the 4 of Cups. And that is also apathy. So we're going to put this all together here. This started for you. I am thinking that this started in, I don't remember all the details as well as Tara does, but she had a past life with her spirit guide Menes, where she was evicted from the temple because she got into a little bit of dark magic. Naughty, naughty Tara. So the Traveler card to me means 2 things. Number one, we know that Menes, her guide, was a trader. He traveled and sold goods. So it might not be this exact life, but this is all tied in together. All of these things are pulling at my attention. I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm excited. And then we have the Ace of Pentacles, and Pentacles are all about money. They're about the Ace of Pentacles is like the beginning of a new opportunity. You have something presented to you, but everything happened so fucking fast that this is either the life where you were kicked out of that temple or something else happened to you. Maybe this is one of the lives when Menes was killed. Pretty much every life. That
cool.
Is there.
Every life. Yeah.
Cool. Every life. But since it ends on apathy, again, this really sucks for you because this is the story of Tara's lives, is that she has this connection with her guide Menes. They were alive together for several lifetimes. Everyone that we have looked into ends with him dying a horrible death, an awful death. None of them have been good. There was not a single time where it's like, oh, I just got old and died. No, they've all been bad. And Tara has been left holding
alone.
She's been left alone, holding all of these emotions, all of the sadness, all of this grief that she doesn't have anything to do with. And she's been carrying that grief and those feelings from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. So now in her current lifetime, her guide has chosen not to be human with her again. He decided to end the cycle of their love affairs, followed by his grisly demise. And act as her guide and helper through this. And he has been really harping on, let me in, we need to talk about these things. Except recently he got very pissy because she got sad about stuff and he was like, fine, just won't tell you.
Yeah, because I was like, I want to know about this. And he's like, no, because every time you go into this depression, it's like I mourn all over again. It's like it comes back and I'm like, oh, I'm sad. My husband's dead.
Oh,
but also
bad.
He's also ancient.
Yeah. But what's so interesting about that is that we already knew that about you, just like we knew that religion is a big trigger for me. So it's interesting that the biggest things in our lives, not the biggest, but you know, these are big themes in our lives. And that is how our witch wounds are showing up. So my guess is that affected you so strongly. Like that fear of, if I say the wrong thing. If I do the wrong thing, then I'm going to lose this person that I love and I can't handle that loss again. So it is not safe for me to be my witchy self. That is right. Where it originated for you.
Yeah. And a lot of part of the lives that I remember in that time period were very much in temples, and there was a lot of secrecy and magic and higher wisdoms that I had to attain and things like that. And then I fucked it up.
You might have. You might have fucked it up.
A little too big for my britches.
You could have. However, based on what I know about your other past lives, it is equally possible that you either put your trust in the wrong person.
Yeah.
Or another theme in your past life has been you were the victim of the situation and the people surrounding you.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you were into darker magic. Maybe something happened, but it could have just as easily been something like in that, remember that story that I read that imagined where the woman was different and she was looking out and there was the women who didn't like her, judging her. It could have been something similar to that for you, except instead of you being burned at the stake, there was a group of women spreading all of these lies about you. You lost your husband and now all of this, what are you left with? You have nothing, right. Not safe to be you.
Yeah. Cause I remember looking in and that, that was another one of my emotional responses to a place I had never been. There was another workout on my treadmill. It's on my treadmill. I'm always having these fucking clearings, but it was the tours of Egypt. And I was like, oh, cool. This is awesome. But when I got to Karnak Temple, I lost my ever-loving shit. I mean, worse than Petra. Like I was sobbing and I was mad at the people that I was watching because I felt like they were disrespecting my space. Like that was my home and they were leaning on things and they were like in places they shouldn't have been. And there was so much magic in that place. And so much like, I want to use the word sovereignty, but there was just so much to it that I was like having this response to seeing it again. Like I had missed home. Like that was my home and I was seeing it again for the first time again, but it was just like, oh man, get off my pillars. Prior to that, when I had gone through a meditation and I was standing outside one of the temples and I felt shame and guilt and sadness at being there because I felt like I shouldn't have been there. And it was just all of those things, like I had been removed from that place. And so then when I saw it in real time, I was like, that's where I was. I didn't know anything about it. So it was interesting to walk through it. And it felt very familiar and very home-like. And I kind of was just like, oh man, that was such an important time for me. And then him, of course.
Menace. You and your ridiculously romantic songs. Oh. Sir. So we kind of answered how it shows up in your life and where it originated from in one fell swoop. So what else would you like to know? What else do you want me to ask? Her face says nothing, but I know there's something.
How do I work through it? What is the best way of healing it? This fucking witch wound.
Okay. So I was going to switch to the Uncover Your Past Lives Oracle, but I don't think I'm going to now. You will equally hate this because the deck that I'm going to use is the Edward Munch Tarot for relationships. I actually almost exclusively only use this deck for mediumship readings, but I really love the artwork on it. And it's made by the same person who made the Art History Tarot for Past Lives. They are Red Orchid Publishing. And I just really love all the thought that goes behind their work. And fun fact, she is also an ex-Mormon. So there's a lot of bonding there. Oh, hi, cool. Hello. I love your deck of cards also. Okay. How can Tara work through this? Intuition, the moon. In addition to listening to your intuition, there is a lot of aspects with the moon card of your fears and your anxieties. And the next card that came up is overwhelmed. it's the Ten of Wands. So when you start to feel those feelings, your go-to response is to kind of shut down. And that's okay. That's totally normal. It's a perfectly normal way to respond to things. I shut down sometimes too. It's, you know, that's the way that we are taught to. The next card is the King of Wands. The King of Wands. And this deck, it's an artist and he's holding his brush. But the King of Wands is a very passionate king. In the tarot deck, it's fiery. It's knowing what you want and going for it. And I'm also very much feeling like it is Mena's.
He picked that fucking deck, didn't he?
He did pick this deck. I have been shuffling the Uncover Your Past Lives Oracle this entire time. And the last card is Justice. And in this deck, it says divorce. I'm not feeling like a divorce is obviously not a thing, but what I am feeling is he's like, Hey, end this fucking separation between us. I've been trying over here, which I know you don't want to hear. Tara has been working really hard on embracing this bizarre relationship because, I mean, I didn't think that anything could get weirder than my relationship with my guide. And here comes Tara and Mena's ready to just warm up.
We're just off into the sunset over here.
Riding off into the sunset.
My hesitation is that loss.
Yes. And that is
so great of a loss that I just don't ever want to feel that again.
Technically, you can't because he's dead. I know. So.
I know. And that is the issue. I'm like, stop. You're gonna stay out there because this heart doesn't have any more room for pain, loss, love,
cold and dead. Yeah, we're done with feeling, we're done with all of those things. No, but if you look at those cards, you got the Moon and you got the Ten of Wands, and in a traditional tarot deck you would see the Ten of Wands as a depiction of a man. He kind of looks like he's going uphill and he's got all the fucking sticks on his back, and to me saying that you are carrying all of these sticks from all of these past lives, you got to let them go.
Talk about this in the last one?
Pretty sure we did.
Yeah.
I'm not sure in what sense.
Fucking sticks. Carrying too much weight.
Carrying too much weight. I don't think it was the last one. It definitely was recently. Common theme here.
Either way.
But basically, you were carrying all of this grief from several lifetimes, at least 4 or 5. Is what is in my head right now, specifically. So obviously you know, you know at least 4 or 5 with Mena's, don't you?
Yeah.
Maybe more. But the fact is you are holding on to them, and something in your gut is probably telling you it's okay, it's safe to let this go, and you are fighting it tooth and fucking nail because it's defense mechanism. You don't 100%. Want to feel that again. You do not want to let that in. Okay, so I'm going to ask for a tiny bit more information since he is.
You're giving me quite a good reading, and I gave you like, hey,
listen,
your Mormon background is haunting.
Hi, hello. Hi, hello.
I feel like this is very unfair reading.
Great, I already know that. Okay, so he is giving better advice on how you can. Oh,
Jesus!
I like you. Okay, so the first card to come up is the Queen of Pentacles. And in this deck, it says nurturing. So the Queen of Pentacles is great at being emotionally nurturing, but she's also a provider. She is a provider. But basically, the more that you focus on you specifically, not your family, you're going to devote all of that love and attention towards yourself, because the next card to come up is the Nine of Wands. And in this deck, it is called Stuck. And right afterwards, we have the Eight of Swords, which in traditional tarot is a woman and she is blindfolded in a circle of swords. And if you look closely, she's not actually stuck. She could just lift the blindfold and literally step out of the circle of swords, but she's blindfolded. So she doesn't even know that there's a thing in front of her. So the key for you to letting this go is to take the time and nurture yourself like you would one of your kids, like you would me. Okay. Listen, Tara has been listening.
Terrible advice.
No, this is excellent advice. This is excellent advice. Tara has been almost single-handedly keeping me sane these last few weeks. Poor Tara has to listen to me cry like.
I love it though.
Way too often.
Not, I mean, not the sadness and the crying, but I like supporting you. That's my job. My friend.
I know. And I support you. And what they're saying is that you need to offer yourself that kind of support. And if you can't support yourself right now, then look at your past self. Look at who you were. You are not that person anymore. What would you say to her? How would you nurture and provide for her, the different versions of you? And the last card that you have is the commitment card. It's the Two of Cups, which is funny because it is, there's multiple layers to this for you right now. So you're going to have, there's the connection with Menas there, of course, where as you work on nurturing yourself, you will have more space to nurture each other in this spiritual sense. But also the more you take care of yourself, your past selves will also be pouring into your current self's cup. So by taking the time to talk to past you, the you in Petra, the you in Egypt, the you in all these places needs nurturing and support. She needs to know that it is okay, that it is going to be okay. Maybe it's not okay for you in that lifetime, but you are okay. You don't always feel fucking okay because you still
right? have
with all of these feelings. But that is the key for you, is looking into the past and nurturing yourself. If you were talking to me in that scenario, what would you say? You need to approach it like that, because I know that you would be like, well, I'd tell her to fucking get over it. Stop feeling, stop being such a crybaby. Just get over it.
You don't know me, Carly. You don't know me at all. I would never say that to you.
You would never say that to me. You would say that to you. That's what I'm saying. You need to look at this like it is not you. And we know now that, well, technically, if you want to get a little weird, we've mentioned this a little bit on here and a little bit on our episode of Campfire Chronicles where we went on, that technically time is wibbly wobbly, right?
Sure.
Technically you could be here and the version of you in Petra could be coexisting at the same time, but on different timelines. So it's like you were taking all of these little threads and weaving them together into one like golden string, you know, like in Hercules, where the animated one, when the witches are there and they're trying to cut his string and then their scissors are getting all bent and it turns to gold. That's going to be you, the gold string. All the Disney references today. I think this is
your
like
scissors. One that I've
done. See, I'm your scissors. So that is how. Oh. You need to approach this. I do appreciate that Menas was like, hi, hello. Just so you know, you're going to use this deck. And also she needs to let me in, but also here's how she fixes it.
Hi, first acknowledge me. Hi, I'm here.
Hi. I'm here. Just so you know, I'm
super fucking dead and I'm not going to leave you again. Hi, can't get any deader.
Can't get any deader. I'm super fucking dead at this point. Been dead for centuries. But there is pieces of you. And for you, that analogy that the timelines that you could be in Petra right now is especially prevalent because the pain that you feel is so strong. You have such a strong connection to all of those that you are literally carrying all of that from every single life that you've had these losses. Now it's too much to carry. Put down the fucking sticks. Tara, put down the sticks. But would you like to know, you said something about the temple and feeling shame.
Mm-hmm.
My experience going through the Mormon temple is when all of this came to light for me.
Because really?
I was so ashamed. I did not feel like I belonged there. I kind of got persuaded into going in the first place. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be doing it. I didn't want to make these massive life eternal promises. And in there, you go through all of the shit. It's too much to go into here. You go through all of this. And when you were sitting there, they ask if anybody is unworthy to be there. And I felt so massively unworthy. So I remember sitting there with all this fucking weird shit on, green apron, baker's hat, all of this, a veil, being like, hi, I don't belong here. And it was that point on where I was like, well, fuck, I did this. So now I got to be the best Mormon that I can be. And look at me now, weird as shit. But you were saying that, and I was like, this is me. Different lifetimes. Yeah. But that's what I mean. I can look back at that version of me. I used to be mad at myself. Oh, I had a lot of resentment for myself because I was like, how did you go? You knew that this wasn't true for you. You knew that you didn't believe in this. How did you get yourself back into this position? And the answer is by learning to have sympathy for my situation. I was doing the best that I could. I was 19 fucking years old. I had no business getting married, first of all. But also, I was in that position because of just life. So learning to look at your past self, in your case, an actual past life self, and feeling compassion for and understanding that sometimes bad things are going to happen. And maybe that's something that you had to go through to get to where you are now. It is a repeating cycle for you, just like it is for me, breaking this mold. I know all the eye rolls.
I don't like it either. This was great. I actually really enjoyed this. What were you saying? Sorry.
I was saying no more witch wounds next week. I did enjoy this too. I enjoyed our readings more than the talking about it because the talking about it made me so uncomfortable. I didn't expect that. Apologies if our uncomfy feelings came across loud and clear because I'm pretty sure they did. All the uncomfortable side tangents today.
Yeah. But although, you know, in terms of like legit witchcraft and practicing and things like that, I am enjoying that. I'm coming back into it. It's becoming a facet in my life again. I am witchy. I am a witch. I've always been. I might as well just embrace it and not worry about it. Because you know what I feel like? I feel like there can't be both. You can't be spiritual and you can't be a witch because they oppose each other. I don't know. See, this is what goes on in my head though. So it's been interesting to kind of gracefully enter back into it and learn and read because I'm just, you know, a sponge right now of information. And so it's been really interesting and to kind of feel how I feel about learning certain things where I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I'm like, I like that. Oh, I like the way that's written. Huh. And then it makes me think and that I'm enjoying. So I'm enjoying being a student of the ways of old once again.
The old ways. Coming back.
That's super cool.
Your readings have been for a long time, have been asking you to go back to your roots too.
Yeah.
So, and we've had so many conversations where she's like, but what do they mean? Are they talking about astrology? Are they talking about herbal remedies? Or there's
no.
And what they mean is coming back to her, coming home to herself, coming home to her witchy self. And I am going to make an effort to stop saying things like, I'm not that witchy. I am.
Let's be witchy together. Book club.
Book club.
All right. Well, this has been fun. Thank you so much for researching that topic for us.
I didn't do all that much research, but you're welcome. Bringing it to our awareness with all of the uncomfy sidebars. Yeah. We don't know what we're going to do next week yet, but we will figure that shit out and let you know.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we are off. Have a wonderful week. And as always, stay barefoot and haunted.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Tara here from the Haunted Housewives, just popping in to let you know that we have a Patreon. Patreon is like our podcast after party. It's our opportunity to be personal with you as a community and dive a little deeper into the topics we love. You can expect things like weekly tarot readings, updates on astrological happenings, witchy goodness, and much more. So if you enjoy hanging out with us every Monday here on the podcast, then joining our Patreon may be for you. The link is in the bio. See you there.
Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Haunted Housewives podcast. Join us again next time as we continue to deep dive into the more unexplainable happenings from around the world. That's here only on the Haunted Housewives podcast.